We're just okay and we play some movies. We're just okay.
Movie watchers.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Just Okay Movies. I'm your host, Biggie Saz, and I'm, as always, joined by...
Guido! Hi, Biggie!
Hey, Guido. All right, man. I've got a movie pitch for you, and I want your thoughts.
Oh, right off the bat with a movie pitch.
Dude, right, I have been cooking this one up.
I'm going to be very absolutely bluntly honest with how I feel about this pitch, so... You know,
I expect give it your nothing best. Less. Okay. All right. So it's the near future, maybe 20, 30 years from now. We'll say 2050, just for the hell of it. A single car company has taken over the world. They were able to make a car that was basically cheap enough that governments could just buy them and issue them to their population. So they get a certain age, they get a car. So everyone's got a vehicle. They're completely autonomous. And they're all solar powered. So it has just revolutionized the way people commute around.
Yeah.
It's made the world wonderful, all that stuff. All of a sudden, the creator of this empire goes insane and connects himself to the central computer and takes control of all the vehicles. And then they just start going berserk, like going into government buildings, taking down power lines and substation, so there's no power, no internet. Everything's just run amok. It's taken out army bases. So you've got these cars just roaming the streets, killing people. Like,
yeah.
People just hide in their, you know, all that stuff. And the only way that people can escape this is by getting to the coast. We'll say our main characters in the United States, and they've got to make it to the West Coast because that's where the ferries are leaving for Hawaii. That's the only place they can go because being such a small island, they were able to take care of all the cars there. But in the United States, you know, 250 million people, pretty much everyone has a car, you're fucked. There's no way you're taking care of all that. So that's like their only safe haven. So it's the story of like this family trying to get there while having to dodge all these fucking cars, trying to kill them. I call the movie Carpocalypse.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Boom. Okay.
I'm going to be as honest as I can here, all right?
And okay, I'm ready.
Your feelings may get hurt. You may think less of me, but I'm going to have to tell you that is the most genius idea I've ever heard.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I was like, what's scarier than your car trying to kill you? And you can okay. work with it so many different ways.
Yeah, but wouldn't... Okay, there's a few logistical problems I'm having.
Of course.
All right, let's work through some of these. Okay. So people are escaping to Hawaii, right?
Or some sort of island that's basically it's so small that they were able to control the problem in some way. Or maybe it's an island that doesn't have cars at all.
Okay. And the whole population of the United States is trying to do this.
You can, yes, that is a problem. That's something that could be tweaked with. Like, only the first, I don't know, how many would you say, 80,000 people who get there can go, everyone else, we're sorry, we just can't do it.
Okay, all
so,
right.
So it's kind of like a, so you could go that route, or you could just say, fuck it with that whole story, that plot line, the whole world's fucked, and it's just people trying to survive, like A Quiet Place, or some sort of movie where you've got this evil that's
it's already happened,
and you're having to live.
The movie yeah. starts, and it's already happened.
You could go that route as well. Easy.
They're,
like,
they're out. go ahead.
Go for it. No, go for it. I want to hear what you're okay. going. I know it's so exciting. You can go so many different places with this.
So I'm picturing a scene set in like a major metropolitan area. And okay. think of like I Am Legend, where it's all okay. overgrown. There's no people around. And there's just like a group of pair of people that are out trying to scavenge for food. And they're using the trains, like living underground and shit. And then, but they have to go above ground to try and find food. So they go above ground and they're like creeping around. you know, trying to get to go from building to building, and then they exit a building and they think it's all clear, and all of a sudden you hear like tiku, 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 and it's all the headlights turning on.
Oh, that's good. Well, it's creepy since they're electric cars, because at least at this point, electric cars are so quiet, so much so that they're having to put like artificial sounds in them because they're so quiet. So you could just work with that to your advantage. Can you just imagine like someone just walking out in the broad daylight and it's just like not, you know, kind of looking around but not looking behind them, but then you pan down, there's a quiet little Tesla right behind them, just rolling behind them. You're like, oh my God, yeah. It's going to just gas it and just plow through them. Like, there's okay. just so much to work with there.
Wouldn't it be scarier if it was like a monster that had those same things? That was just yes. ultra quiet?
Yes, I agree, but these are cars.
Oh,
it's more. I guess it's more of like the whole, like, you know, like Resident Evil or all the Romero films are basically that. You know, you're overwhelmed. There's no way you're going to win. And I guess that also means, you know, you can play around with it. Like, okay, overwhelming odds. There's, you know, hundreds of millions of cars. There's no way you're going to destroy them because they destroyed everything else. And, at least in my little pitch, they also automated, you know, being able to repair them, manufacture them. So you kind of have maybe kind of a Skynet kind of deal. That's the only thing I was like, maybe this is too Skynet. It's just with cars. You know, a yeah. self-sustaining infrastructure that you somehow have to take down or just live with, whichever way you want to go. And that's where it's like, okay, what's the tone, you know? The easiest one would be people just having to live around them. They get killed by them. They just got to survive. Or maybe they need to get to a safe haven somewhere. Or you could go like Evil Dead or what's the other one where he's got the chainsaw and the other Ash film?
Army of Darkness?
Campy. There you go. Go Army of Darkness with it. And it's just this guy who maybe he's like a mechanic. And he was mad because this company just took away his job.
And he drives a car that runs on gasoline.
There you go. There you go. That's right.
It's a social commentary.
Right. It is. Oh, see, it works on that. Dude, that's a Sundance Film Award right there. Easy.
Right. And then at the end of the film, he realizes that he's the villain because he was driving his fossil-fueled vehicle, monstrosity.
Interesting. Now, how would that twist come about when there's electric cars killing people?
Yeah, that's fair.
Although
I like it. We got to workshop it, but it does offer up an amazing, like, if it had the scene where it showed the cars become sentient or take control or whatever, mm-hmm. you could go have like a 20-minute scene of cars just hitting people.
I know. That would be the best part. It's like cars just like running in the buildings, like going off of like like overpasses, like dropping straight down to like buildings or schools or whatever. Like just scary ass shit that would freak you out. And that's the best part. I kind of thought like expanding that to like planes and stuff as well. Like one company controls like planes and boats and all of that. And basically it all goes in tandem, but like, maybe that's too easy. Maybe there needs to be some levels, but I mean, you could go that far too. Like all the planes in the sky are basically controlled by this one company and they can just take out whatever they want.
No, it doesn't matter, Biggie. The cars, they're so advanced that they are aquatic and they do fly.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's far enough in the future. It would make sense. They can fly.
What if they're not cars like people are picturing right now? They're more like pods that you like sit in. So they're more bullet shaped.
Okay.
And then you can have like scenes where the pod like is just sitting there parked and someone's, you know, waiting to go. And it's like, oh, come on, it's not working. And they're hitting the console. And then the car just fucking crumples in on itself and blood squirts out of the fucking seams.
Oh my God. You could even work that into the design because there's so many vehicles. Like when you park somewhere, it has to like fold in on itself.
Yeah.
It fits. You can fit like thousands of cars in a row. So it just initiates that. Like two, like a chick and a dude are just fucking, you know, normal horror trope. And then the car just starts getting smaller and smaller. And they're fucking, they don't notice. They're like, hey, can you scoot back a little bit? It's not going back any further. Oh,
it's great.
Okay. Also, same note. Let's say you have a scene where it's like in the backyard, like these two, I don't know, teenagers, wherever, they're like, you know, swimming, their parents are gone, they're drinking booze and maybe fucking or whatever. So they like, they're not paying attention and like the car rolls in from behind them and goes into the water and it's just waiting down there and one of them walks off and it like propels itself up and like fills up the cabin with water and traps them inside of it and takes them back down.
Yikes.
It's good job, man.
No, good job you.
Yeah, no, we got something here.
Yeah. This is a big money maker.
Huge, man. So big. Well, man, have you watched anything lately?
Yeah. I've watched, speaking of social commentary, I watched two movies that are highly commentary on our political or social environment. And that's The Black Klansman.
Ooh,
I watched
nice.
That. And I also watched a movie called Sorry to Bother You.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
Well, so
is there
Black
a reason for that?
Yeah, we'll get to that one. Black okay. Klansman, Spike Jones. No, it's like Spike Lee. flick.
I do the same thing.
A Spike Lee joint. It's about, the first, black cop in Colorado Springs, and he gets signed up to the information or, intelligence department, and he calls up the local chapter of the Ku Klux Klan and joins them over the phone, basically. And then, goes on to continue the charade, but eventually has to meet them and enlists the help of a Jewish cop to take the part of the Klansman, the guy that wants to join in person. And it's based on a real story. But yeah, it's a Spike Lee movie.
Yeah.
The message is very heavy-handed to the point where they end the movie with a bunch of clips of the rallies that went awry in, I'm forgetting the city, recently, the past two summers ago or something, where the guys were carrying the, you know, fucking citronella candles down the street, the white supremacist dudes and mega, you know, Make America Great Again. So he just like shows clips of that. He's like, this is what it was by playing the whole movie and then smash cuts to clips of all that. Like, it's happening again, people. Wake up. but overall, it was an okay watch. It wasn't anything to write home about, in my opinion.
Gotcha. So it sounds like the commentary probably took more of a front seat than the story itself.
It didn't take a front seat while you're watching the movie, but they ended on that note, and you're just like, oh, I get it, okay. Man. So gotcha. That's your lasting impression is like, all right, you're showing me these real-life clips of people, you know, getting beat up by white supremacists and, you know, cars hit going through crowds and stuff.
Agree.
And it's just like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like that's such a... I kind of feel like the director at that point thinks I'm an idiot, and I just don't realize what he's trying to get to. And you're right, it does. It totally deflates the sales from the whole experience. Because, you know, the best part of a film is your own interpretation, whether it be something simple or something that's very complex, is supposed to tell a thing about society, like this film clearly does. And it's just terrible when it's like at the very end, it just hits you over the head, like what you said. And it's like, okay, now I get what you mean, so I shouldn't think about it anymore because you already told me what you want me to think about it.
But it also doesn't act as, it doesn't act as a theme. Like, the people that are watching this movie, they aren't going to watch it and be like, oh, shit, white supremacy is wrong. You know, it's wrong to be a Ku Klux Klan member, you know?
Right.
No one's watching that thinking that. So you don't have to beat them over, the audience over the head at the very end, because everybody's on the same page here. You know, some Klan member's not going to fucking Blockbuster Video in goddamn Alabama and renting the Black Klansman.
Right.
And if he is, he's definitely not sticking around till the end.
That's a good point. Preaching to the choir, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah. It just turns into an echo chamber.
Well, shoot. That's a little disappointing to hear that. That's definitely an okay flick to watch.
I mean, I wouldn't say don't watch it because it's not bad. It's just, you know, you kind of know everything that's going to happen, pretty much. It's an undercover cop movie. What happens in those? The undercover cop gets too deep, eventually probably gets found out, and then someone's going to die, whether it's a good guy or a bad guy. How they go.
Exactly.
And then the other movie I watched is a movie called Sorry to Bother You. And it's you might like it. I don't know. It's weird. It's a very weird movie. It's about a telemarketer, a guy who's down on his luck. He wants to get a job, so he gets the only job that he can find, and that's becoming a telemarketer. And he goes to show up for his first day. He's a black guy, and they're like showing him the promises of becoming a VIP caller. You know, a guy that the people, they take the golden elevator to the top of this building and they start making the big deals. That's where the big money comes in. And he's down there and he's not succeeding. And Danny Glover's sitting next to him in a cubicle. And he's like, hey, man, I've been listening to your calls. And you know what you're doing wrong? You're not using your white voice. And the guy's like, oh, what do you mean? Like talking like this, hey guys, would you like to buy our product? And he's like, no. I mean your white voice. Just be someone who doesn't care. You know, be someone that the white person listens to and wants to be. And then he tries it, and when he talks, it's David Cross's voice, the actor David Cross. Yeah, and he uses this white voice and becomes top salesman of his branch or whatever. And meanwhile, they live in a world that's weird. It's almost like Idiocracy, where it's our world, but it's a parody of our world. And there's a company that's, I forget the name, Have a Nice Day Company or something. They basically sign life contracts to people. They're like, come work for us. Sign a life contract, and if you work for us, we'll give you a bed and a nice place to stay. We'll feed you every day, wonderful entertainment. You live on our compound, and it's great, but you have to sign up for life. So there's like activists that are fighting against this, and this guy who's just trying to live his life and make money, and he's a salesman, but he becomes the top salesman and goes on to that VIP caller status and realizes that he's then selling stuff that this company makes to millionaires. So he's making million-dollar deals, but using it at the cost of essentially slave labor.
Ooh.
And then he finds, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's big twists in it. Twists that are so ridiculous that I wish I could tell you. I'm going to do it. Spoiler alert. Do you care, Biggie?
Go for it.
Okay, spoiler alert to anyone listening that might want to watch this movie. Sorry to bother you. It's happening. I'm going to say a spoiler right now. So fast forward now. So he goes to this company and he's talking to the highest guy because he ends up making million-dollar deals for this guy, the guy that runs that slavery kind of company. And he goes into the facility and he finds out that he's turning the people into actual horses.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, I was like real like animal horses?
Yeah, he's giving them pills and then they ingest them and then they morph into horses. And he like walks into the bathroom and he hears just the guy like, "Oh, help me." And then he's like, "Hey, man, are you okay?" And the guy's like, "Oh, I need help." And he opens the stall door and a fucking man horse with a giant man horse cock plops out, like falls to the ground. And he's like, "Oh, it's so much pain." And then he like catches a video of it and takes it out. He's like, "Oh, shit, they're turning people into horses." And then they have a TV show that millions of people watch. It's called Beat the Shit Out of Me. It's on in the bar and stuff earlier in the movie. It's just people getting the shit beat out of them.
Nice.
So he goes on to the show and he's like, I'll go on your show. I'm the top caller. People know him because he's like the top caller. It's a good position to be in. And he's like, they're like, "Here, can you play it? You have the largest audience. Can you play this video that I took at the compound?" And they're like, "Well, you know the rules. You got to get the shit beat out of you." And then he gets the shit beat out of him. And then they're like, "Okay, now we got to dump you in a tank of shit."
Oh, my God.
He's like, "Come on, man. Just play my video." But then they dump him in a tank of shit. And then they play the video to everybody. And he goes on talk shows talking about it. And then it's a week later, and just nobody cares. Nobody cares wow. that people are being turned into horses. It's a fucking weird movie. And it's almost, wow. it's too weird that for you to follow along.
Huh. I was not expecting any of that. The show's stuff does sound a lot like Idiocracy, though. I like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in it. There's, you know, the resistance group, and he ends up, someone's filming him getting in an argument with his girlfriend, and they know him because he's the top caller, and she says something like, she's holding a can of Coke, and she's like, "Here, have a," they get mad, she's like, "Here, have a Coke, bitch," and then throws it at him, and like, he's got an afro, and it hits him in the head, and he starts bleeding out of his forehead. And then someone was catching it on video and becomes a viral sensation. So, like, there's people like just walking around the town wearing Afro wigs with a can of Coke that are taped to it. And he becomes known as, like, the have a Coke bitch guy.
So, I'm having a hard time figuring out the yeah. tone of this film. Is it, like, a dark comedy? Would you yeah. classify it? Okay.
Yeah, it's a comedy, but it's a dark comedy. Yeah, it's like a comedy, but with the social commentary, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I'm getting kind of a Truman Show, Idiocracy kind of vibe, like kind of mixing those two together.
Yeah.
Or at least the con. Yeah. Yeah.
If you want to watch something weird and maybe laugh at a few scenes, then give Sorry to Bother You a shot. It's worth it for that. There's a lot of weird stuff in it, if you like that sort of thing. But just the general, you don't understand what they're trying to convey half the time, because it's all over the place.
Very nice. Very nice. That was not what I expected at all. I might have to see it to believe it a little bit. Because that's crazy. Well, I watched a very interesting film as well. It's a film Ooh. Called UHF.
Ah.
Weird Al film. It's yeah. one of those I always saw the cover of it and like, I don't know what the fuck that is. And I saw it on Prime Video. Like, let's give it a shot. I love that movie. It is so, like, I guess, first of all, if you enjoy Weird Al, and not just his parody songs, but like his original songs, which are very strange, you know, if you at least get some sort of amusement out of that randomness, it kind of feels like one of those songs, but in like an 80s stereotypical guy down on his luck kind of film. Like, all rolled into one. And I guess that's what's so charming about it, is how simple it is. He's just a guy who can't keep a job down. His uncle gets a TV station, and it's down on its luck. He goes into it. They're always like, hey, I forget the character's name. I was called Weird Al. Hey, Weird Al, you can never apply yourself. You're always thinking up of weird stuff. Do something with your life. So he kind of uses that to his advantage and makes all these wacky shows that end up putting them at the top of their game. And the big network affiliate doesn't like it. So they're constantly trying to buy them out or jeopardize this little station. So it's one of those stories. Typical bad luck going to the top kind of stories, and with that nice 80s vibe. I think it was made in the 80s. It could have been late 70s. I'm not sure. But it is so random and so great. Like, the one scene I love is him and his brother in their apartment, and it's right next door to a karate studio. So, like, you hear, like, these people, like, fighting in the other room, and they're having to, like, dodge feet and hands coming through the walls while they're talking. And it's just, like, normal. And he's like, what time is it? And the arm comes through, and he, like, looks at the time, like, oh, no, I'm late. It's just silly stuff like that just makes it so much fun. And I recommend it. I'd highly recommend it, actually, and really, I'd recommend it to anyone, because it's pretty clean. Not a lot of language, you
that's,
know?
That's Weird Al for you, though. He doesn't swear.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. You know, he's clean, family fun, but it's actually funny, and not really at anyone's expense. I mean, there is one scene where he has, like, a talk show, and up on stage, he has, like, a Nazi Klansman, I think they called her a transvestite hooker, and a bunch of other people, and they just start fighting each other. That's probably the only scene that I would be like, but it's small. So if that doesn't bother you, you'll like the rest of the film. It's pretty solid. But yeah, do the same thing. Oh, go ahead.
If you like those kind of movies where there's a succinct storyline throughout, but it's a lot of, like, gags and riffs and, like, almost sketches in between that, like, right. Airplane or any Naked Gun movie, like slapstick kind of movies. It's
exactly,
if you like those, you're gonna like UHF.
I totally agree. It is a fun little film that I was very surprised at how much I enjoyed it. Absolutely. Well, you know, Guido, I've got a question for you. Were you a big fan of Breaking Bad?
I was a fan enough, I guess. I watched it as it aired, and I liked it. I didn't fall into the whole thing. Like, I wasn't crazy about it, like some people get.
I feel the same way. The reason why I bring it up is, apparently, a Breaking Bad movie is in the works. And so far, the only person we know that's going to show up for it is Aaron Paul. If anyone remembers him, he's the guy who was, Jimmy or Jesse?
Jesse Pinkman.
That was his name. Thank you. I don't give a fuck. I went about 3 seasons into it. And here's the thing. Like, horror films, they've never freaked me out or made me uncomfortable where I just couldn't continue watching. I just never was a fan of the genre. But shows like Breaking Bad that get so... the atmosphere, the drama just builds up to a point where I just can't watch anymore to see what happens next. I get so uncomfortable. Like, that's what Breaking Bad did to me. Around the 3rd or 4th season, when things really start heating up, I just, like, I can't watch this anymore. I'm just way too uncomfortable. And I guess that's my fault, because the show itself isn't bad. I think maybe it lingers at times a bit too much. But the acting's fantastic. You know, I mean, I don't know if there's a bad actor in that whole show. They just all do a great job. But I don't know. I'm just, I guess that kept me from wanting to finish the whole series. Did you feel the same way, or did you just get bored with it, or did you finish it?
Yeah, I absolutely finished it. And some of those end seasons are great television. Super good television to watch because it's the end of a story. It's a bunch of characters that you followed for years, and now they're moving on or dying or making it rich. You're just getting the outcomes. So it's satisfying, I'd say.
Okay.
That tension, it goes away as every character has its final episode, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of tension in that show, and it's tough tension because you see this man who's trying to work so many goddamn angles. And that's where all the tension is built from, him working angles. He's got drug dealers on his left. He's got his partner on his right. He's got his wife and family that he has to juggle. And then his brother-in-law is a fucking FBI agent for the narcotics division. It's just you watch as everything's closing in on him. And that's why it feels that way. But it's a good feeling. I think it's good to feel something.
That's true. That's true. I kind of like thinking back on it, I'm like, hey, I'm kind of a pussy. I should have just kept watching. I might just start it back up again. Because, yeah, the story is very fascinating. Even from where I got to, I was very interested. And it says a lot to the writing because I think that's really the only show where I really had to stop because I just felt uncomfortable watching it. I just never returned back, but I really should. But it's great writing. So are you interested at all in a movie? I'm seeing just him, and I don't know what happens at the end of Breaking Bad. You know, I've always heard, is the main guy alive? Is he dead? I have no idea. So just seeing that Jesse's returning, I'm like, I don't know if he's enough of a draw for me to want to go back in. Or after finishing the whole series, do you have a different opinion on that?
I was done with the characters, you know? This came as a surprise. Right. The stories are done. Like, you don't have to do this. That's how I feel.
I agree. Everything I heard about the ending of the show, it tied everything up nicely. And, of course, I'm sure the main reason is probably money. There's still money to milk from the franchise. I'm not sure if the original writer, Vince Gillian, I think he's the writer of it. I don't know if he's attached to the write this movie. I haven't seen that part. Maybe that's out there. I don't know. I've just seen the headline and was fascinated because I really expected it just to kind of, you know, die off as being a awesome series and that's it. You know, I don't even know if like the Better Call Saul and stuff is very popular. I think they're still making them, so it must have some following.
Yeah, but, there's people that watch it. Yeah, I just don't think that they need to. It might be, you know, AMC, like, hey, we got these characters and Walking Dead's not doing so great anymore, so maybe we should make a movie or sell the rights or something.
You know, that's another show I got uncomfortable watching. I need to kind of go back and I couldn't get past the second episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 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 I don't know what's wrong with me. You know, after about 45 episodes of this pod, I'm not sure what's wrong with me.
No, you just have very eclectic tastes, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that is very true.
You're not missing much with Walking Dead. Like, even the first two seasons, which people seem to like, aren't that good. Gotcha. It's a mediocre, like, character drama that has zombies.
Interesting.
And then it just gets worse after that.
I love the setup. I think I enjoyed the first episode the most. I love the pace of it. It was just so interesting. And it's even more interesting since, you know, at the time, Atlanta, I go to Atlanta all the time when I was in Tennessee. It was only 2 hours away. I had friends down there. So the imagery and everything was just like, oh, this is creepy. This is a city I've gone to so many times. Oh, I recognize that. You know, interesting. And we even, I remember seeing the series finale. I guess that's the only other episode I'd seen. It happens at a, they call it the CDC building, but the building itself is like a power company or something. And after we watched it, we went down to that building and just kind of walked around. It was just like, oh, this is kind of cool. No, I like the setting and everything a lot, and I've heard great stuff about it. I don't know. I guess maybe it's the zombies doesn't interest me all that much, although I know there's a lot of drama that happens in it. But it's probably another one I need to give another shot.
Yeah, the zombies become the setting after a season or two. Like, the zombies aren't the threat anymore. It's just them living in this post-apocalyptic world. There's zombies.
Sure.
But they're not, they've learned how to deal with the zombies. Now it's dealing with the humans.
That I probably would find more interesting. So maybe I just need to power through to get to that part. It probably would.
Yeah, but it's not good, dude. It's not good.
Okay. So that's actually where it falls off. Okay.
Right. You want a series to watch? Here, I'll give you a series to watch. And it ties in because they are making a movie. They just started filming. And pretty much most of the cast is returning for it. It's an HBO show called Deadwood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Deadwood.
Yeah, they just started filming the
cowboy
movie.
One, right?
Yeah. And this is a movie I'm on board for because there's two seasons of the show, maybe two and a half. They stopped filming it. And it ends on such an abrupt note that fans of the series have been like, come on, bring it back. Or make a movie or something, tie up the loose ends for all these characters. So that's cool. I'm very excited for that. If you want to just learn some fucking old prospector language and lingo, go watch Deadwood. The fucking dialogue in the thing, I'm saying fucking now too because they used every other word, but the dialogue is so on point in that show, and it's so brilliant. And even if you don't like Westerns, there's something for everybody in Deadwood.
Interesting. I will definitely check that out. I didn't realize they just did 2.5 seasons. I thought it was a much longer going show.
No, if you watch it, you'll see how much this show must have costed, especially for when it came out in the early 2000s. Because the sets are amazing. The costumes are amazing. The makeup, everything looks great on it. And they have like real horses and everything. It's, you know, it must have cost a ton of money. And if HBO is like, well, it's not Game of Thrones numbers, they're not going to keep pumping money into it.
Right. Yeah, that does make sense. Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like Game of Thrones.
Interesting.
The last season... The last two seasons really haven't been super great, but, you know, we're getting to that finale and we're going to see what happens to everybody. So that's exciting.
Yeah, definitely. That's another one I need to get into. I read the books up to the fourth book and I kind of lost some interest, especially like, cause the first episode I saw was the very premiere and I loved it because I love Sean Bean. Like, oh, Sean Bean's in this, that's great. But then I was like, I need something to read, and so I started reading it and got to the end of the first book, which is the first season as far as I know. I'm like, oh no, that's what happens. Like, oh well, I guess if Sean Bean's not in it anymore, then I don't know if I really want to watch it. So I just kept reading the books instead. It made me so sad though, because his character is just so good in the book. And then after that, it's like constantly being handed off to all these other characters that I just don't like as much, and it just bums me out more and more as things happen in the story, and you know, your character pool starts shifting so much. It's cool, it's a neat dynamic, and I have heard in some of the later books when they're not as good, the show is better than the books in some cases.
Yeah,
and that has something that's got me interested in kind of going back and watching, or I might finish the books out first and then go back and just watch all the way through. So I just do one clean.
You gotta watch Game of Thrones, Biggie. It's a cultural phenomenon right now. And you know, host a media podcast. Come on, man.
I got a tweet after our episode went live on Friday, and someone was already calling for me to resign my hosting duties.
Oh, like, no, oh, never.
No, it was sweet. It was all a good fun. No, I just, you know, I'm weird when it comes to stuff like that. Like, my friends are trying to get me, like, in Game of Thrones. I mean, they've tried, like, you gotta watch Game of Thrones. You gotta do it. And I was like, eh, you know, I know what it's about. You know, all the stuff, dragons and stuff. I can kind of imagine where it's going. I'm good. And I don't know. I'm such like a slow like burn on stuff. I'm like, okay, after I start seeing a bit more of it, like, okay, I'm interested, I'll keep going. It's like when Heroes came out. Like, I had no interest in watching Heroes. And my friend just brought the box set in. He's like, I'm gonna force you to watch this. I ended up loving it. And it sucks the rest of the seasons were terrible. So I kind of feel like it's the same thing like with Game of Thrones or really any other series. I sit down, if I'm forced to watch it, I'm gonna end up loving it. I know their production values and stuff are out of this world for that show, and that has me interested alone. And I know all the actors in it I've heard really good, and they even kind of see instills of them. I'm like, oh, that's kind of how I pictured them, you know, when I was reading the books. And has me interested. I mean, you can't say enough good things about the guy who plays Tywin Twin. I forget his name.
Tyrion.
Thank you. I mean, he just does a fantastic job. He's just a solid actor.
All right, here's what you need to do, okay?
Okay.
You need to take a weekday off, and your wife does too, because she has she seen him?
She hasn't.
Oh, yeah. The two of you take a weekday off. You wake up at 8 a.m. or wherever, whenever. You go out. You get a nice, hearty breakfast, all right?
Okay.
And then you come home. You watch 5 episodes in a row, all right? You just power through them. Watch them together, talk about them, order a pizza at the halfway mark, and then watch the other 5.
Okay. That sounds like a fun time. All right. All right. I might have to do that then.
Nice, easy day with the wife.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a nice little date night. Sounds good. Well, hey, if you've got any comments, questions about shows, or want to talk about your own favorite shows or movies with us, please shoot us an email to justokmovies@gmail.com or send us a tweet at justokmovies. I mean, we talk about movies, but hey, we'd love to hear about shows. There's all kinds of great shows. I mean, you look at a thing like Game of Thrones, it's basically a really long movie. I mean, with that kind of quality, let's just talk about it. Sure, of course. Guido, is there anything else you'd like to chat about before we wrap this thing up?
No, man. I think we're pretty good here. I miss the horror movies. I do.
I do too.
Monday came around and I was like, oh man, I feel like I'm missing something. And I was like, oh yeah, we watched horror movies every Monday for the past month.
Seriously. And, Monday was like the perfect day. Like we had discussed either doing it on Sundays or Mondays. We're like, let's try Monday. Let's see how it goes. And I think it was just kind of nice, like jumping into the, you know, your first day of work for the week and kind of coming home and just sitting down watching a horror film with some people. And, you know, the whole crowd coming in were awesome, you know, chatting about the film, making fun of it. Fruity, you're a gem for hosting all that for us. Thank you so much. And I think it's something we should definitely do, maybe not every week, but, you know, at very least once a month. And we may try to talk to get something like that going. But I agree. I miss it as well. It was a good time, especially like with the time changing and everything. Like, it's getting nice and dark and sitting down, and especially watching like Alien. It's getting the further the movie went, when it started getting creepier, it gets a little darker outside. So the room just gets a little eerie. It's perfect. Absolutely perfect. But yeah, I totally agree, man. Well, thank you all so much for tuning in. We'll be coming back at you with a review next week of something. Guido and I need to talk about it. little look behind the curtains. I've been failing at my scheduling, but we'll be coming with some sort of review next week. Thank you guys so much. Y'all have a good evening.
Bye.